Welcome to the Jesus Unfollower podcast. My name is Kevin, and I'm an atheist in the Bible Belt. On this podcast, we talk about religion and how it affects us as non-believers in America. I often use a humorous approach because, let's face it, religion is heavy, and we need to be able to laugh about it sometimes. And now your host, me. What's up, non-believers, doubters, and skeptics? Welcome back to the podcast. It is starting to feel like fall outside, and I don't really know why I decided to sing that, but you know what? Sometimes you just gotta break out your inner nard dog and just sing things. And very happy that it is no longer 95 degrees and humid. It's starting to be like highs in the upper 70s, and the leaves are changing, and that makes me happy. We went on a walk the other day, my girlfriend and I and her daughter, and it was nice. I did not sweat my ass off. There was a little nice breeze. And hey, let's talk about weather for the first minute of the podcast. That's sure to hook you in. And right on the money, I hear somebody outside now weed eating. I hadn't heard a single sound all morning from anyone outside, and I pressed record exactly 1 minute ago, and now they're doing yard work here. So that is very, very infuriating. I want to talk a little bit about AI today, because the entire world is talking about AI all the time, it seems like, and like a lot of content creators such as myself are using AI to help us to come up with ideas and different things like that. So I use ChatGPT almost every day. Sometimes I use it for fun, sometimes to help me create content. A lot of times, like with my day job, it helps me generate ideas. I also use it to format transcripts or to ask it to give me good podcast episode titles based on transcripts, you know, all that boring stuff. But, you know, it is really interesting to me and a helpful tool. And every day in my comments on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, Christians try to lead me to Jesus Christ, and so far, they've been unsuccessful. I have, however, received many threats of hellfire, so that's pretty cool. So I figured I would turn to ChatGPT to see if it could do a better job of winning me to Christ. So my prompt was, what is your best argument to convince me that Jesus is the Son of God? And here's the response from ChatGPT. The belief that Jesus is the Son of God is a matter of faith, and different people find convincing arguments based on their personal beliefs and experiences. Here's a commonly cited argument from Christian theology, historical accounts. Many people believe in Jesus as the Son of God based on the historical accounts found in the New Testament of the Bible. The New Testament contains the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which provide detailed narratives of Jesus' life, his teachings, crucifixion, and the resurrection. These texts are considered by believers to be reliable historical records. And therein lies the problem for me. Believers find these to be reliable. The question I would suggest that they ask themselves is why? Why do they find these reliable? From my experiences, Christians are very quick to toss out any other religious texts or dismiss them as false instantly. Again, why? It's widely accepted that none of the Gospels were written while Jesus was alive. They're believed to be mostly written several decades after he died. Does that decrease the reliability, in your opinion? It does in mine. Christians will usually come back and say, that's just how history works. And they'll say things like, there's more historical records for Jesus than there is for Alexander the Great. And stuff like that. I've even heard some of them be like, oh yeah, well, why do you believe in George Washington? And we'll just kind of set that one aside for now. I'm no historian. I'm no expert. But I do know that there's a difference in these claims. Nobody's claiming that Alexander the Great was the son of any god, or that you will burn in a fiery pit for all of eternity if you don't believe in Alexander the Great. And as the great Carl Sagan said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. That's so true. If you want me to believe in something, then you have to provide evidence for that thing. But if you are telling me that something supernatural happened and that I should believe it, that requires more evidence. That requires extraordinary evidence. If you're making these outlandish claims, you better bring me something more than just Jesus historically existed. The second argument brought to me from ChatGPT was fulfillment of prophecies. Christians often point to the Old Testament prophecies that they believe were fulfilled by Jesus. They argue that these prophecies, such as those found in Isaiah and Psalms, describe a Messiah who would come to save humanity, and Jesus fulfilled these prophecies in his life and ministry. Every time that I've asked Christians for specific prophecies, they can't really give me any. Or if they do, it's about Israel being reestablished as a nation or something like that. And here's the thing about the prophecies that Jesus quote-unquote fulfilled. These are writings that were around for quite a while at that time. Wouldn't it be easy to fool people by claiming to be the one that these scriptures talk about? Now, I will admit that I haven't read a lot about the prophecies in the Bible and about like them being fulfilled, but should I? It feels like to me, if a God exists, he wouldn't need me to dig through written words and try to find these fulfilled prophecies to find him. Number three from ChatGPT, miracles and divine acts. The New Testament accounts of Jesus include numerous miracles and divine acts, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, and turning water into wine. These actions are seen as evidence of Jesus' divine nature. Again, where is the evidence for these miracles, aside from the people writing that they happened decades after Jesus' death? Even extra-biblical sources that account for the miracles were written in that same time frame as the Gospels were, decades after Jesus died. Why should I believe that those miracles happened? Number four, teachings and moral authority. Many people find Jesus' teachings, such as the Sermon on the Mount, to be profoundly moral and spiritually compelling. They argue that Jesus' wisdom and moral authority are indicative of his divine origin. I agree that Jesus did have some good teachings, for sure. But that doesn't mean there's anything divine about him, does it? The same could be said for a number of figures throughout history. Oh, and by the way, Jesus also said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." That is Luke 14:26. The number five reason why I should believe that Jesus is the Son of God, according to ChatGPT, is the resurrection. The central event in Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus 3 days after his crucifixion. Believers argue that the empty tomb and the appearances of Jesus to his disciples provide strong evidence of his divinity. Is an empty tomb proof of anything, though? That's my question. Is something not being there proof that something else happened? And yeah, okay, he appeared to his disciples. Do we just take them at their word? I know that many of them suffered pretty brutal deaths. Does that mean that what they believe is true, though? Because people die for things they believe a lot. People hold these strong beliefs. That doesn't make the belief itself true. That means that the person believes it strongly. That's all that it means, in my opinion. You know, there were allegedly 500 witnesses of the resurrection, according to Paul, but those witnesses are never named. So, okay, a million people saw me open a jar of peanut butter with my mind. Oh, who were they? I can't tell you exactly. You just have to believe that they saw me. Also, Jesus is not the only resurrection story out there. Again, Christians easily dismiss all the others while accepting the story of Jesus Christ. And the final reason, according to ChatGPT, that I should believe that Jesus is the Son of God is personal experience. For many Christians, their belief in Jesus as the Son of God is deeply personal and rooted in their own experiences of faith, answered prayers, and a sense of spiritual connection. And I say, honestly, personal experience might be the best reason for somebody to believe. I really can't tell somebody what has or has not happened to them. But is that a good enough reason for other people to believe? Is something happening in your life, your personal experience, reason enough for me to believe that your God is real? I don't think so. You know, people from other religions claim that their gods have helped them, healed them, etc. Are they wrong? What makes their experiences wrong and yours correct? And that very question is kind of what started my whole deconversion of, okay, I believe in this God. Other parts of the world believe in this God. Other parts of the world believe in this God. Or, you know, if my parents believed differently, I would too. What makes the people who believe differently from me wrong and me right? You know, I just happened to be born into the right religion. And of course, I know that not everybody just believes the religion that they grow up with. Many people convert to Islam who used to be Christians and vice versa, or people who are raised in an atheist family will end up being Christian. I know that that happens, but the vast majority of people believe the same way that their parents do, or the people around them. And here's the closing statement from ChatGPT on the subject. It says, it's important to note that belief in Jesus as the Son of God is a matter of faith, and not everyone will find these arguments convincing. People have different worldviews and beliefs, and what is convincing to one person may not be to another. Ultimately, faith is a deeply personal matter, and individuals arrive at their beliefs through a combination of personal experiences, cultural influences, and spiritual reflections. And I say that's what it comes down to, is faith. That's the reason that most people believe. It's just faith. Most people don't believe because of the evidence. They use evidence, mainly anecdotal evidence, to support their faith. And for me, it's like, I can't decide to believe in something. It's funny, I get that comment a lot of, believe in Jesus or you'll go to hell. Okay, I can't make myself believe in it. I can't have faith in something and then after the fact, you know, see if it's real. All right, God, I'm going to trust you and then hope that you're real. It doesn't make sense. It seems backward to me. But I guess that's the whole point of faith, is to, you know, it's without knowing. That's the whole basis of the word, is you're believing something without knowing for sure. But it just seems backward. And there you have it. I was ultimately not won to Jesus by ChatGPT. And believers might say, well, there's nothing that'll change your mind. But that's not true. I once believed in God and now I don't, so I would say that I'm more likely to change my mind than most of them. And strangely enough, if you ask a Christian what will change their mind, 9 times out of 10, the answer is, oh, nothing. I asked you guys on Instagram to ask me a couple of questions because I was recording today, so I'm going to answer a couple of questions. Number one, somebody said, why do you think it's important to start a page like this? And the reason why I started my Instagram page in the beginning, like 4 years ago now, is because I wanted a place to kind of vent about Christianity and how it affected my life. I had just gone through a breakup because of differences in religion. And so I was like, I wanted to talk about that, but I didn't want friends and family to see. And I just wanted to make some stupid memes, and that's what I started doing. And then quickly after that, I started getting comments and DMs and stuff of people saying, you know, thank you for this content. Thank you for sharing this. Thank you for making this. And they were talking about how they felt less alone when they saw my posts and stuff. And I was like, I had no idea that was a thing. I had no idea that there was going to be like all these different pages and all these different people looking for those kinds of pages. And so it just sort of has evolved. Now, I do get a lot of people just saying that I hate Christianity. Why do you attack God? Why do you attack religion? Why do you make fun of Christians? Why do you attack, they use that word all the time. But like, why do you attack something if you don't believe in it and blah, blah, blah. And that's okay. I've learned to kind of brush that stuff off because of the more important reason of some people find my content helpful. And so therefore, I don't care if it pisses some people off. I'm not attacking people of faith, like, I'm just calling into question a lot of the things that they believe. Their religion is harmful, objectively harmful in a lot of ways. And so I call that out. Yes, I do make fun of Christianity, but it's more like the religion, not the people. And I'm making fun of my former self in a lot of ways too, because I believed that stuff for a long time. I wasted years of my life in church and stuff. And so that's why I talk about Christianity and not other religions. And people can relate to my posts. They say it all the time. Like, I totally relate to this post, or thank you for this, or this helped me to laugh today because I was having religious trauma. They're dealing with stuff with their families. Like, that's the reason I do it. And so that's why I think it's important to have this page. Do I go too far with some of my posts? Maybe. Are some of them like sort of making fun of Christians? Yes. But like, it's okay to criticize religion. It's not like I'm saying Christians are so fucking stupid. You can look through my entire page. I never say anything like that. Sometimes I'll get a little personal. If somebody gets a little personal with me, like responding to comments, maybe I do that. But if the people who look at my content can't see the difference between me like talking to down to some asshole who was talking down to me and just me acting like I hate all Christians. My family is almost all Christians. A lot of my friends are Christians, and that's fine. They can believe whatever they want. It doesn't matter. Not that belief is a choice, but you know, they have the right to believe the things that they believe, and that's okay. But I also have the right to call it out and say what I don't like about it. That's okay too. So I hope that answers that question. And if you can't tell, I am passionate about it. You know, people will not understand what I do, and I'm totally okay with that. People will assume what I do. I'm totally okay with that too. Like yesterday, somebody was just telling me how much I hate Christians. And I'm like, oh, that's news to me, because I don't hate Christians. I just, you know, kind of call out some aspects of Christianity. And the second question I'm answering today is from Savannah, who says, do you ever miss the community that religion gave you? I do. I think a lot of people do. I think that's what pushes me to keep making this kind of content, because it does have a community feel to it. You know, for me, I like kind of slowly backed out of church because I was going to church every single Sunday, every Wednesday. I was playing in the worship band. And then like they moved to a new church, like my pastor and a lot of the other people started going to a different location. And like, I just started like, I don't know if I really started questioning things too much, but I started feeling like, you know, it's okay for me to not go to church as much. And I think I was starting to have some doubts about all of it. But it wasn't until, you know, a little bit later that I had that conversation with a coworker that really opened my eyes to like, oh shit, I don't believe this at all. But I mean, that was my whole life there for a while, was going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Even back in the day, we were going on Friday nights and just like hanging out at church all the time with church people all the time, doing Bible studies, hanging out, going to the outlet mall and witnessing to people and all that stuff, even though that was uncomfortable. But there was a whole huge community aspect that I lost, and I know a lot of people have lost it too, so I do miss that. And that's one reason why I've started the ex-Christian community, exchristiancommunity.com. Like, I'm trying to get this started of a place where it's like a private place where non-believers can connect. Because social media is cool, but it still doesn't, like, it's hard to have conversations with everybody. It's like a one to many. You know, I make the content, I'll reply to DMs and stuff when I can, but that's getting harder to do sometimes. I reply to comments when I can, but people, you know, can't really talk to each other on my pages and stuff. And so I don't know, it's tough. So that's one reason why I wanted to actually start a community where people can post what they're going through, post what's on their mind, connect with other people. My grand vision for the whole thing is that there are going to be forums. They're private, so like the trolls can't get in there. Like nobody, your friends and family aren't going to know that you're posting. It's not like Facebook, you know. And I want to start having monthly hangouts or, you know, calls, Zoom calls where we talk about specific subjects, specific, you know, what people are going through. I want to do a book club because I want to get more educated on a lot of this stuff, you know. I want to learn more about science. I want to learn more about why the Gospels are not, you know, accurate or why they shouldn't be a reliable source. I want to learn more about extra biblical sources of, you know, accounts of Jesus and just all this stuff. And so I want to start a book club and all of that. So I am starting, well, it's already started and five people have already joined. So if you're one of the five, thank you so much. But at xchristiancommunity.com, you can join now. I'm looking for 25 people to become founding members at $5 a month. And like once we hit that number of 25 people, then we'll start doing hangouts on Zoom and we'll start doing the book club stuff. I just want to build it up a little bit to where it's not just a couple people and like, cause it's hard to get a lot of people to show up at the same time for the same thing. So if that's something you're interested in, then go to xchristiancommunity.com or you can find it at jesusunfollower.com too and check it out. It's a way to support this podcast as well. But I'm really like long term, I would love to have a growing community that's not reliant on social media and that is, you know, something separate, something private where people can't really infiltrate it and people can speak freely, speak their mind and talk about, you know, the things that they're going through. And we can form that some of that community that we did lose when we left church. Oh, and one more thing. Apparently the rapture is supposed to happen yet again in a few days. So this could possibly be the last podcast that I ever do. And if that's the case, remember, you don't need a God to be good. Peace out. To sign up for a private community for ex-Christians, or to join the Comments from Christians newsletter, head over to JesusUnfollower.com.